Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zolasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplementation. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and sign up for my free emails. There seems to be a lot of attention on maltodextrin in the health chatter. Health chatter? It's what gurus and pseudo-experts are talking about. Just like with the recent track I did on seed oils, all of a sudden maltodextrin is the next worst thing. Now, in my experience, nothing is all good or all bad. It was the chemist Paracelsus that provided us with a basic tenet of toxins. All things are poison, and nothing is without poison. Only the dose makes a thing not a poison. So let's take a look at maltodextrin and decide what's real and what's imagined. Now let's start with a logical question. Exactly what is maltodextrin? Turns out that there are two forms of maltodextrin. One is known as maltodextrin, and the other is called resistant maltodextrin or digestion-resistant maltodextrin. That actually threw me off in my initial research because one study talked about using maltodextrin to reduce blood sugar, while another talked about maltodextrin increasing blood sugar. So what's the difference? Resistant maltodextrin is the indigestible component of starch hydrolysates. Okay, and then what? Well, using heat and enzymes, and some acids as well, they are turned into indigestible dextrins that are also called resistant maltodextrins, or, as I said, digestion-resistant maltodextrin. Well, resistant to what? Digestive enzymes. Resistant maltodextrins is a fermentable dietary fiber currently being researched for its potential to lower the risk of hypoglycemia, obesity, and metabolic syndrome, a term that encompasses factors for hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and type 2 diabetes. When it is added to foods, they are a substitute for fats. While they are used in many types of processed food to enhance palatability and texture, they can potentially be classified as functional fibers when enough data on physiological benefits in humans are established, and that research is ongoing. The other maltodextrin is also used in many foods for some of the same reasons. The difference is that they are broken down very quickly into simple sugar molecules, specifically glucose. That's why the alarm bells are being rung by experts who say to be careful of maltodextrin. Based on reading the science in relation to what the gurus are actually saying, I think that they are using the two forms interchangeably. Now, it's just my opinion, but I don't think they really know that there's a difference between the two. One is sugar molecules like glucose in a long string, while the other is a resistant starch that feeds probiotics like other forms of resistant starch. Let's go back to how each of these forms of maltodextrin are made. One way is in our gut. Yeah, believe it or not, they are produced when we eat starchy foods. That's why eating potatoes by the pound and pasta by the bowlful can raise blood sugar. They don't stay starches very long, but that's a little minor. Maltodextrin and resistant maltodextrin are produced from starches such as corn, wheat, and potatoes, but can be made from almost anything that has starch. The initial process is similar for both, using enzymes, acids, and microbes. In that there are so many ways of producing each, the only major difference seems to be heat. The result from one process is maltodextrin, which can be broken down quickly in the body, and the other is resistant maltodextrin, which is resistant to digestion and thus doesn't count against calories from carbohydrates. However, they do act as prebiotics for probiotics, so that's a benefit. I really think there are two issues that are behind the concern about maltodextrin. The first is that maltodextrin increases the glycemic index. The glycemic index of maltodextrins is higher even than that of glucose, coming in at 110. The resistant maltodextrin comes in at a paltry 5 on the glycemic index, which means it won't impact blood sugar at all. However, when it comes to maltodextrin, the glycemic index is not exactly the most important number. That would be the glycemic load. The glycemic load takes into consideration the entire meal, as protein and fat, as well as fiber, can impact the way simple carbohydrates are absorbed. Still, in that many uses for maltodextrin is in drinks, that may not be very relevant. The second issue may be the source of the maltodextrin. The starches to make maltodextrin generally come from potatoes, wheat, corn, rice, and cassava. Now that presents issues for people who are allergic to wheat and corn. The primary source for maltodextrin in the United States is corn, while wheat is the primary source in Europe. Obviously, wheat is a problem for those who are allergic to wheat. Corn presents a different challenge for many people, and that's because almost all corn grown in the United States is GMO, genetically modified organism, or more typically now called bioengineered. The issue with bioengineered foods is that the DNA of the plant is modified to make it resistant to some types of weed killers, such as glyphosate. What I find interesting is that, to date, no one has objected to the modification that increases resistance to insects that can decimate crops, or that increases the beta-carotene levels of rice. Those same techniques are used to modify the DNA of the plant. It's just faster than normal plant husbandry that has been used for centuries. On top of that, because of the normal digestive process, there is no evidence that GMO foods are hazardous to our health, at least so far. Still, I do think we would all like it a whole lot better if we stopped messing around with plants' DNA. Is maltodextrin safe to use in our food supply? Yes. Is resistant maltodextrin also safe and maybe even beneficial in our foods? Yes. But it all comes down to this. How much of it are you going to consume? If it is used as a stabilizer in complementary foods, like supplements, it's most likely resistant maltodextrin and wouldn't impact blood sugar in a negative way. But if it is truly the simple maltodextrin and you consume too much of it, it is going to potentially have a negative impact on your health. As I said in the beginning, everything has the potential to be a toxin. The dose makes the difference. That leads to another saying that offers some sage advice. Everything in moderation, including moderation. And that's the story of all forms of maltodextrin. I got a little time left over, so I'd like to talk about food choices. I think one of the challenges that we all face is that the ultra-processed foods are designed to tempt our taste buds. But is the solution the absolute avoidance of every ultra-processed food? You may be able to satisfy specific types of tastes and sensations by changing the form of food. Let's take a look at potatoes. A potato is a healthy food, as it is a good source with some phytonutrients and a little bit of protein if you eat them baked. They come in at roughly 25 calories per ounce. That means if you had a half-pound baked potato, that would only be 200 calories. But that may not satisfy the salt or the crunchiness you desire. What do? Well, if you cut that potato up and make French fries, you're roughly going to raise it to 100 calories per ounce, and all the addition comes from fat. However, if you take that potato and cut it into slices and make potato chips, you come in at 140 calories per ounce. But what if you like everything to look the same and go for potato crisps like Pringles? What you get with a regular potato chip is potatoes cooked in oil with some salt. The crisps have 10 ingredients that are mashed together and extruded to make the crisps consistent. What's the point? Well, there are degrees of eating healthy and yet satisfying your taste buds. Choose the best form for you and limit the amount, just like you should with maltodextrin. And by the way, maltodextrin is one of the ingredients in those crisps. Well, that's it for this episode. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelenska saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.